Welcome to Career Tools. Today's podcast, What is Work Product? Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, what is work product? Why do I need to know what work product is? And what are the 6 building blocks of work product? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. It really doesn't matter what your management problem is. Chances are, Manager Tools has something that's right for you. Whether it's these podcasts or reading a book. Maybe it's attending a virtual or in-person training event. Heck, even executive coaching are things that we offer here at Manager Tools. Specifically because we know everyone faces unique issues that they feel apply only to them. If you'd like to learn more about an offering that we can use to help you grow as a professional, send us an email to maggie@manager-tools.com to find out more about what Manager Tools has to offer.
So I did mention, and I think I touched on it a couple times, you know, meeting a deadline. And that really points to our next component of work product, which is timeliness.
Yeah, timeliness. This is my personal favorite one. I was raised to think timeliness was like the utmost importance.
Yeah. I saw a thing on social media the other day, someone asking in an interview about how tolerant the company is of people who have time blindness.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. It's a new
thing. Term. Yeah. Never heard of this before. And the person was saying, I've just never been good at delivering things on time or getting to meetings on time. And so I have time blindness. And I was like, what?
The audience
I don't understand that.
See my face.
Oh my goodness.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It is not good. Timeliness may not be necessarily as important as my mom told me it was. However, it is an incredibly important attribute without which, let me be clear, your work becomes pointless.
Yes.
And we're going to use an analogy. We're going to give you an example so that you see what we're talking about. But essentially, no. Work that comes in too late doesn't help your project at all. It's like, imagine a wedding cake that arrives after the guests have left. It doesn't matter if it arrives 10 minutes or 10 hours after the guests have left. That cake is immediately completely useless.
And I would just add, oftentimes, it runs counter. It actually gets in the way. It makes things worse.
Oh, yeah. It being done late is worse than it never being done.
Sometimes, right? Because then you go, oh, well, okay, well, now we got to figure out how we do that, right? I mean, using our analogy of the wedding cake, which is brilliant, by the way. I love that analogy. But now, whether it shows up 10 minutes or 10 hours after, what do I do with this cake?
Right.
I got to do something
do
with
this cake that I still have to pay for, presumably, because you still want money because now it's mine and I can't use it.
Yeah. And even if I don't have to pay for it, what am I going to eat all this cake? What do I got to cut? Yeah.
What am I gonna do?
And meeting deadlines is about the flow of work in an organization. Mm-hmm. That thing coming in late impacts everyone else who's working on the project or doing, you know, their part of the work. And there's implicit agreements when you're on a project that, you know, who is going to do what and by when, because other people need to structure their work and coordinate their efforts. And so there has to be some level of, again, coordination so that whatever that output is that we're looking for meets the overall deadline. And so we've got to have the ability to do your part and meet your standard deadlines for you know, whatever your contribution is of that project. And so going back to the wedding cake example, right? All the people making a wedding cake have to do their part.
Yeah.
In order for the cake to be at the
venue. In the right order.
On time. Oh, yeah. It's got to be in the right order. Even the people making the little bride and groom on top. I don't know. They make those or those machine?
You know, I don't know. I've seen some that are like animals, like cats even.
Yeah.
And like
I've seen them very tuxedos. Customized.
Yeah. So I think they must make them.
Yeah. But it just takes one of those people involved to be off, to miss. And the whole thing comes crumbling down. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, I like it. That was a good one. Dad joke.
Mm-hmm. Wedding cake, it's crumbling down. Yeah. Probably also not a time people would like to see your face. It's a little cringy.
No, I know. A little cringy, not as cringy as the timelineness. Okay, so back to timelineness. No, yeah. Folks, that meeting deadlines is a secret barometer, although I would argue not that secret. It's a secret barometer used by other peoples to determine your level of professionalism. People who are time blind, we make the assumption they lack professionalism. Right or wrong, it's a barometer. It reflects your ability to manage time effectively, as well as respect other people's schedules. I mean, it also shows some sense of responsibility and commitment towards your work. You do what you say you're going to do in a professional context. Consistently delivering your work on time creates trust and confidence among team members and managers. And we're going to talk about relationships in a bit. You missing deadlines for important people in your life harms your relationships with those important people in your life. Meeting your deadlines, it's just an easy way to demonstrate your professionalism and to be seen by the people around you as someone who can be counted on.
And listen, it puts a lot of pressure on everything else you do.
Yeah.
If you're on my team and you're late to everything and you miss deadlines, you better be really good at everything else.
Really good.
Right?
Like really good.
Really, really good. Now, situations can arise and will arise. I mean, we've all had a time where meeting the original deadline just becomes impossible. There's unforeseen circumstances.
Absolutely.
There's
not monsters. We allow for unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah. We're not robots, right?
Well, speak for yourself.
But this is where I think communication comes in, right? And we talk about communication a lot, and we're going to talk about it with relationships as well. But communicating proactively that, you know, you're going to miss the deadline, renegotiating what the new deadline ought to be, reporting the delay ahead of time, kind of resetting expectations, demonstrates a lot. It demonstrates transparency, responsibility, right? I'm not trying to get away with anything.
Yeah.
I'm telling you I'm going to miss, right?
Yeah, honesty.
Honesty, it demonstrates effective communication skills. It demonstrates, at a minimum, an awareness for everything that Sarah talked about, that respect of other people's time, respect of other people's. If you don't communicate and you just miss, and someone says to you, well, you don't really care about other people's time, you could say, no, I agonized over the fact that I missed that deadline. Yeah, but you didn't communicate.
Yeah.
So nobody knew that you cared so deeply about missing, right? Communication is so important when it comes to deadlines. So even though the original deadline might not be met, taking a proactive approach in a way still kind of aligns with the principle of timeliness, because you're knowing and demonstrating that the deadline is important, and sometimes even important deadlines get missed. And you're treating it with such reverence that you're willing to talk about it. You're being proactive. You're renegotiating a new deadline. And so meeting that renegotiated deadline is still meeting that kind of standard of timeliness. And it's not just about adhering to a given deadline. It's about, again, being knowledgeable, being, you know, aware, treating deadlines with reverence and with respect, and communicating.
Yeah.
As deadlines are met, as deadlines are missed, as deadlines are getting, you know, we call them red, amber, green, right? When they get amber, let's communicate. Let's talk
before
about it.
They come due.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Which takes us to documentation. Now, the documentation of your work is essentially the record you create of how you got from point A to point B, from how you got from nothing to your solution, or from your source material to your conclusion, from the question itself to then your answer. And the documentation is the tangible record of the work done that provides for yourself and the people around you the transparent view into the process and reasoning that took place, the assumptions, etc., behind the output created. It's kind of like showing your work when you do a mathematical equation, right? The showing of your work enables the others around you to understand the steps that you took in order to arrive at the final product.
Yeah, it provides valuable insight into your thought process, how you make decisions, the approach you take to problem solving. You probably think, oh, I'll remember how I did this the next time. But all of us have a lot on our plate. And some of us can speak from pretty bitter experience. You think that when your boss comes to you and says, hey, how did we do that last time? That you'll be able to say, you'll be able to just rattle off, oh, this is what we considered. This is what we thought through. You won't. Even if your mind could switch gears that fast, I mean, kudos to you.
Again, you guys can't see me, but I am literally flipping through maths that I did very recently. I had to prepare a recommendation to the board, which required math be done, multiple different mathematical equations to come up with multiple different recommendations, which I then thought to myself, oh boy, I need this all written down, because if they ask me about how did you get to this answer, I'm going to immediately blank. I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't know. And now I look like I don't know what I'm talking about. And I for sure do.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to remember when you put me on the spot. So having it all written down, so helpful personally to me. They never asked about it, but the insurance policy was worth it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember the first time I got a report from one of my directs that had felt like 2 inches of footnotes at the bottom that explained how I was like, oh my goodness, this is so helpful. I wish everyone did this, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's just helpful. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but you just have to be able to capture those things that in the moment you think, how could I ever forget this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know this like the back of my hand until someone asks you in front of a room of people.
Exactly. Yeah. And you want to be able to get in that habit. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds like I'm speaking from 60 years of experience. I'm not quite there, but I can tell you that you want to get in the habit of documenting these kind of thoughts and problem solving considerations and the things that even if you didn't action it, just something you thought of, write that stuff down, because you want to get in that habit early on in your career, because you want to be in that habit by the time it becomes critical to your career.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And folks, the importance of documentation for all the reasons we've already discussed goes far beyond those. That is, your documenting of the things that you've done, the considerations made, how you got to the results you got, ensures continuity and efficiency in our workplaces. Good documentation is documentation that is comprehensive enough and available enough to other people so that they could, if need be, pick up where you left off and seamlessly transition that work to another person. So this type of work, the recording, the documentation of your work and doing so with a high degree of clarity is something that is crucial when you're unavailable. For example, and it doesn't just have to be go on vacation or go out because you're moving on to another job. Think about an emergency situation where you're called off due to illness, right? Or deal with some sort of family issue. It becomes much, much easier for the rest of the team to support you if when you leave at a moment's notice, everyone can pick up and take over for you at the drop of a hat. People will become much less, willing to pick up in order to allow you to go off at a moment's notice if in past experiences you've essentially left them in the lurch without any documentation or instruction of how to maintain in your absence. This documentation increases the likelihood that people will want to help you in the future when you really, really need their help. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't even talk about getting promoted. If you've been promoted and someone can't continue your work due to inadequate documentation, we'd say you didn't even earn your promotion. Because, again, leaving people in the lurch because you've not done your job to document how you do what you do today, it's just not cool.
Yeah, and I would say it's going to hurt you. Because if you haven't documented processes or what you do or what you think about when you do, you know, whatever you used to do, and now you're in a new role, you want as much of your mental energy looking forward and on the new role and on what, you know, you've got a lot of things just flying, you know, your way. And if you, because you didn't set someone up to succeed, you've got someone who's calling you and saying, wait a second, am I supposed to look at this too? Should I pull that report when I do this? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, let me go back and explain. Because you didn't document it.
You didn't document it. And it doesn't have to be perfect. I want to go back to the accuracy conversation.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Scratch it out on some piece of paper in a file folder. We talked about relatively recently on a Manager Tools podcast about playbooks.
Yeah.
Things that are generally pretty messy.
Oh, yeah.
And not well organized and just handwritten notes. But if someone had to pick it up and follow it, they could do it well enough. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just has to be helpful.
Yeah. And maybe the question, maybe there are still questions that need to be asked, but they're questions about filling in the gaps rather than, can you walk me through this whole thing?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Big difference. And you could probably gather from this conversation that we've had that there are two types of documentation. There are notes that you keep for yourself, and then there are things that you document and publish for other people. And most of us keep too much for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about probably, we should probably think of this as stages, right? The first stage is we think we can keep it all in our head.
Yeah.
Then the next stage is maybe I, you know, Sarah and I can convince you to get it out of your head and write it down.
Uh-huh.
And then the next stage is actually put that out somewhere for other people to see. And that could be in a shared folder or shared repository. It could be emailing it out. It could be whatever it is to kind of communicate it out. But ideally, these things are not just stored in your head and not just written down, but also communicated, right? And we don't publish enough. We don't get enough information out there. So the more you can do that, the more you can kind of reserve that feeling of being judged, you know.
Exactly.
It, don't worry about that, right? Just get it out there, communicate it. Because speaking of judgment, you're being judged on work product.
And
part of that is your documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about this all the time. The more you do it, the better you'll be at
it. Yeah, that's exactly it.
In the month of October this year, we'll be in Denver, Portland, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Austin. And we'd love to host you for some in-person training in any of those cities. If you're excited about getting out of the weather that you're currently in, you can join us in a city that has different weather. If you'd like to come see downtown Austin, join us. You can sign up for Effective Manager and Effective Communicator events in these cities in the month of October at manager-tools.com/training. Again, Denver, Portland, DC, Chicago, and Austin, we're headed your way. And we'd love to learn more about the challenges you're experiencing as a manager, as a professional, and we can provide some guidance to help make things better, more effective, and really support you in your professional journey. Come see us.
Okay, so that takes us then to safety concerns. So does it necessarily apply in all workplaces under all contexts? Many of us, even if our job was done relatively unsafely, it wouldn't harm people around us. However,
yeah,
in some work settings, safety standards play a critical role, and adhering to them is a complete non-negotiable. That is, if you can't accomplish your tasks while meeting an outlined set of safety guidelines, then technically the work itself is not done. And it's because the completion of work isn't just about the final product or the final service delivered. It's also about, or also includes, the process through which it's achieved. And the true measure of successfully completed work incorporates not only its quality, quantity, timeliness, and documentation, but also assurances that it was performed in a safe and secure manner.
And I would say if this isn't quite resonating for some people, totally get it. But an example I would just share quickly is my wife works in insurance claims. And so there's work that is done, you know, houses are built, buildings are built, you know, things are done that for the first year or two seem great.
Mm-hmm.
All is well, right? But there were things that were done that weren't done in a safe manner. And later after the fact, there's liability for the for the organization, right? And so in the short term, it seemed like, hey, we reached the desired outcome. But long term, there were things that were done, corners that were cut, right? Mm-hmm. Things like that. And so I think it's important to understand that. And especially in today's context, there are other things. You may rush through performing something or doing something and sharing it with an outside vendor and you put it in a place that's not secure.
Yeah, it's not just physical safety, right? It's also data security.
It's not just
security.
Hard hats. Yeah. So companies bear a significant responsibility toward upholding safety standards. And I'm sure, you know, most principalities, locations have their legal, regulatory obligations for a safe working environment. Absolutely. But additionally, companies owe a duty of care toward their staff, towards customers, toward the public, people who could just be, you know, walking by.
Yeah.
And meeting safety standards isn't just about complying with those laws and regulations. It's about protecting and valuing human life, maintaining public trust, ensuring that longevity and reputation of the organization is of the highest standard for years to come. And companies are made up of people, and you're one of those people. And so you have a responsibility to do your part to make sure that the work you're doing is safe for everyone involved.
Exactly. Which takes us to the last bit, the newly added bit of work product, that is relationships. Now, when we at Manager Tools describe work product, we don't normally include relationships. However, relationships, much like safety, are such that if you can't accomplish your tasks while simultaneously building or maintaining relationships, then we would argue the work itself is not actually getting done.
Mm-hmm. In the short term, you might hit all the other areas of work product that we've talked about. You might hit all your targets. But just like I talked about how maybe after the fact with safety, you could miss something and there could be an insurance claim down the road. In the moment, you may not be building or maintaining relationships while you're accomplishing all the other areas of work product that we've talked through, right? Or worse, you could be tearing down relationships in order to be more accurate or be more timely. Mm-hmm. And so in the medium or longer term, your ability to get work done is diminishing because of the lack of relationship maintenance and building. So understand, in organizations, we all get things done in groups through working with other people. And again, people are important.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, Andrew, we hear professionals suggest that their results ought to be good enough that relationships don't matter. That's usually the, that, right? That's usually the argument. It's like, okay, well, if my results are really, really good, relationships oughtn't matter. But work product being the results part of results in relationships, is something that careers are built on. And to your point earlier, your results cannot be achieved longer term if you haven't relationships. Many people, I think, discount or underthink the amount we rely on other people. But something we've said at Managed Tools before is, if you don't want to work with all the other people around you, unfortunately, all the jobs with trees and dogs have been taken. Yep. So here we are now. It's that, right? It's, you can't just not worry about relationships forever and always get good results and think it won't harm your results. And frankly, we would argue, I mean, we would take a contrary opinion to that altogether and suggest that neither results or relationships are enough to give you a successful career. Even if results alone weren't going to be harmed due to poor relationships, we would suggest that's not a career to hang your hat on. So in the short term, at least, you are going to need to be working on either one or the other. In the longer term, you need to learn to have balance between both of them.
I would even argue that the relationships aspect should be likened to quality, right? Like getting stuff done.
Yeah.
Of
it's about how you do it.
It's about how you do it. And it's specific enough that it makes sense to separate it out because it's specific to the people and to the relationships. And yeah, I just think you have to have both.
Yeah. You absolutely do. All right. Well, hopefully this content has helped many of our listeners out there as they receive these vague pieces of feedback, right? That feedback like, oh, you're doing a good job, for example. Such a vague term. And oftentimes it's hard for us to decide whether or not we're actually succeeding because of the vagueness. It's even more difficult receiving vague feedback and trying to set any sort of measurable goals.
Oh, yeah.
Against that.
If someone says that could have been better.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah, we need to
I'm sure it could
how,
have.
Right?
But that's not helpful. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So by breaking this information, the work product content down into specific areas, even if your manager isn't giving you that overly actionable feedback, this can help you assess your own performance, look at your own strengths and weaknesses, and set goals for yourself. Or look for other jobs where other areas are being emphasized.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sarah.
Absolutely. That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week with a new topic.